and onto the balcony. The deputy never heard him coming. Ryan reached for the man's head. He left the corpse where it lay in the chair and climbed back to the ground. In a matter of moments, Ryan recovered the stire and crept up on the other deputy. With the man out in the open the way he was, Ryan had no choice but to take him quick. The one-eyed warrior bolted around the corner and came at the deputy at a good stride. The deputy came around to face Ryan, uncertainty in his movements. He was young, used to handling an area that didn't have much rebellion in it. Too much power took the edge off a man.
Can I help you?
Sure.
Ryan kicked him in the crotch. He then swept the styro around to butt-stroke the deputy. Keeping his eye on the corpse, Ryan walked across the street.
What do you want?
To see J.B. Dix. And make it bastard quick. I've already chilled two men coming this far. One of them gets discovered, we're gonna be up to our ears in Kirkland's sec teams.
I'll be back.
Ryan waited, staying in the shadows. He didn't know how long it would be before someone came along to change the guards.
Ryan.
Here.
Ryan stepped in through the open door. A woman and the two men flanking the armorer had their hands on their weapons.
There's a lot of things we gotta talk over, JB.
Doc sat on his haunches and watched the barn. The wag carrying Mildred had disappeared inside almost a half hour before. He held the slim volume of Robert Frost poetry in his free hand, forcing himself to be patient by trying to recall all he could of the poet's work. He was torn between going back to Ryan and the others to let them know where Mildred had been taken, and not wanting to desert the woman. His mind conjured up torture scene after torture scene, refusing to give him any rest. Too many of the vulgar violences that traveled through his brain were all too clear, too much a part of what he had lived through. Doc had witnessed the evil that lurked in the hearts of men. Doc drew back into the shadowy embrace of the hedges beside the house and curled his finger around the Lamaze trigger. He had it set for the massive 63 caliber shotgun load. If all hell was going to break loose when he had to use it, he figured on clearing the decks as much as possible beforehand. Kirkland walked out of the barn in the company of two other men, all of them illuminated by the lantern the healer carried. One of them Doc recognized as being one of the men aboard the wag that had taken Mildred. Kirkland led the way into the back of a large manor house that showed evidence of skilled carpenters having built it. When the men disappeared into the house, Doc waited a little while longer, then eased out of hiding and took long steps toward the barn. The door was left unlocked, so he crept inside. The stink of hay and the animals filled his nostrils as he passed inside. He used his cane, much as a person without sight would, feeling for uneven surfaces. One of the wag wheels was in front of him.
Mildred! Mildred! Dear lady, it is I, Doc! If you can hear me, please let me know!
He searched frantically, feeling across the buckboard, sorely afraid that Mildred's corpse would be the only thing left lying there. Thankfully, in a sense, the buckboard was empty. That still left finding Mildred almost an impossibility. Doc prayed as he searched, hoping that the woman was still alive. A sliver of moonlight above him caught his attention as it threw a narrow shaft onto the stalls in front of him. It vanished a moment later, obviously having been reflected from some other surface outside. Still, it presented possibilities. Working from the brief glimpse he'd gotten, Doc found the ladder leading up to the hayloft and climbed it. When he gained the top, he used the sword stick again to search the area before him, making his way to the small doors fronting the barn. The moonlight rimmed them, drawing them into squares almost 3 feet across. When he reached the doors, he pulled the bolt back. Moonlight invaded the barn, falling down over the horses below. Most of the stalls contained animals. With the unaccustomed light invading the barn, some of the horses began to shift. Still, the natural light flooding the barn would be much less obvious than lighting a lantern. Doc climbed back down the ladder. He rounded the buckboard. A quick check let him know that Mildred wasn't in any of the stalls. His mind flew, racing with possibilities. He glanced upward, seeing nothing but the hayloft above. He then moved to one side of the stall, near the barn door. He was beginning to think that if there was an underground room, it was buried so deep that he wouldn't be able to hear the difference. Fearful disappointment filled him, and madness seeped into every chink such negative thinking created. Doc sprang for the pitchfork hanging on the wall near the tack and harness. He tracked the underground room to the rearmost stall on the right. The stall was empty, and straw covered the floor. He scraped the straw away and found the square-cut door beneath, collared by 2x4s. Doc grabbed the steel ring set in the door. Below, it was a yawning black abyss. He felt inside and found a ladder built onto one of the walls. Quiet as he could be, Doc climbed inside the doorway. He waited for a moment, hardly daring to breathe.
I don't care what Kirkland says about that bitch. Damaged goods ain't gonna keep her from being worth just as much to the bastard Outlanders.
Oh, I don't think he's gonna be handing her back to those Outlanders alive anyway. They gonna have some fun.
Never saw him being overly generous about such things. And they got something he wants. We would have killed him outright anyhow.
Doc explored the floor below him. The sword stick quickly touched walls on all sides of him, letting him know he was in a very small room. Kneeling, he dragged his free hand across the floor, spreading out his fingers so he could cover more ground. He found another steel ring and pulled it up. Doc took the second ladder down. Against the shelves now, Mildred shoved her shoulder into a gallon jar. Liquid ran down her arm. Twisting in her chair, Mildred let the liquid run onto her other arm, drenching her wrist where the leather thong had grown more loose. She knew that leather stretched when it got wet. The water that had been dumped on her earlier had probably loosened the thong. The liquid brine she had spilled, from the smell of it, thoroughly soaked the thongs holding both her wrists as bits and pieces of vegetables slid across her fingers. She pulled against her restraints, finally able to get her hands free. Then she felt along the floor for a chunk of glass to use on the thongs binding her ankles. She found a piece only a few inches long that had razor-sharp edges. While she was picking it up, she accidentally sliced her thumb. The brine burned the cut, but she ignored the pain while she cut herself free. She looked up to where she thought the trapdoor was. In the darkness, it was hard to tell, hard to remember. Using both hands now, she gently searched through the glass fragments until she found a bigger one that she could use as a weapon. She dragged her knuckles across it, keeping the softer parts of her hands protected from the edges. The piece she held was nearly 8 inches long. Mildred ripped a shirt sleeve free, then wrapped it around the bottom 4 inches or so of the glass shard she picked up. The cloth wrapped around enough times that the glass didn't immediately slash through.
That's better.
She fisted it, feeling somewhat better for having it. The glass shard wasn't much of a weapon, but she could make do. More darkness greeted her, this slightly more gray than the shadows filling the underground room. She didn't know why the man entering the room wasn't carrying a lantern. Reaching out, she touched the ladder, making sure of the distance. Then she tightened her grip on the glass shard and waited.
Mildred?
Positioned behind the old man, Mildred halted her blow just in time.
Doc!
It is I, dear lady. Come to your rescue, I had thought. But I fear we are not going to be alone for much longer.
Without warning, light appeared around the edges of a second door above Doc. The weak yellow illumination flared down through the sides of a second trapdoor above the one Doc was halfway through.
Somebody's been here, Harold. All the straw's been moved.
I can see that, Miner. Get that lantern over here and let's take a look before we get anybody else.
Betwixt a hard place and a rock, that's surely where we find ourselves in this quandary.
Haul your bony butt down off that ladder. All you're doing up there is making a fine target. Your blaster, Doc. That scattered gun of yours is good in close quarters. And those bastards aren't going to have many places to run.
Stand back, dear Dr. Wyeth, because these concrete walls are going to be just as hard on us as they are on them.
One of the two men broke away from the second trapdoor above. The second man shoved the snout of a revolver into the hole. Doc dodged back. The light trickling down from above was barely enough to let Doc see Mildred taking cover across the room. Knowing they didn't have time to spend exchanging shots with the men up above, Doc glanced upward and saw the man above shoving his arm into the trapdoor area again. Doc brought up the Lama and pushed it into the mouth of the bottom trapdoor.
Are you ready, Dr. Wyeth?
Yes.
Then follow me and pray that the Almighty continues to look after fools.
Doc grabbed the ladder and bounded up the rungs. He kept the Lama in one fist, managing the climb with the other. Up above, the second trapdoor remained open and free of gunmen. At the top of the ladder, Doc made his way to the second trapdoor and climbed onward. He stayed low when he climbed out at the barn floor level again. One of Kirkland's men lay to one side, sightless eyes staring at the ceiling. His chest was a bloody ruin where the initial double-aught charge had caught him. Doc paused, hunkered down, and cut his eyes around the barn. His hearing was still hampered from all the crash and din that had been released in the underground room. Then he spotted the fleet-footed shadow speeding toward the barn doors. He lifted the Lama. Doc turned and offered his hand to Mildred as she climbed out of the trap door.
My hand, dear lady, while I have the strength in me to help.
Now what?
You proposed that I had an actual plan in all of this?
Would have been a great help, Doc.
Mildred stripped the gun from the corpse and started moving toward the tack and equipment area.
I had thought of taking the horses, but I was uncertain what shape you might be in.
I'm all for getting the hell out of here.
Mildred took a pair of bridles from the wall and tossed one to Doc.
Everybody else Kirkland has in this place is going to be all over us like flies on shit.
Those are my sentiments exactly.
He thrust the Lama into his belt, then grabbed the mane of the horse in the stall beside him. The animal tossed its head, but came into the bridle easily enough.
In the barn!
Doc forced the bit between the horse's teeth, then fit the bridle strap behind the horse's ears. Mildred led her chosen mount from the stall it was in, and swung up onto its bare back. Doc then climbed onto his horse's back, feeling the ridge of its backbone shove insistently into his crotch.
Ready?
As much as I dislike these animals, I feel I have little choice.
Then ride!
Mildred headed toward the barn doors, left slightly ajar by the men who had entered the structure after Doc. Doc followed Mildred. He aimed the Lama at two men running from the back door of the manor house.
Which way, Doc?
This way!
Got company, Doc!
Twisting, Doc glanced back behind them, spotting five riders traveling along in their wake.
Then we have no choice but to make haste!
Ryan and JB sat at the table in the back of the gun shop.
Jack and Dean have got horses rounded up and waiting for us just outside of Hazard. If we make it that far, we can get out of here with a whole skin.
Sounds to me like your skin is the only one you're worried about.
Anna, my skin and those of my friends are the only ones I ever worry about.
If it hadn't been for us, you bastards wouldn't have been outfitted as well as you're gonna be.
Ryan knew that was true. JB had already shown him the ammo that Phillips had contributed to the cause.
Just because I'm making plans to take care of my people doesn't mean I'm leaving you out in the open with a busted wheel. But I just chilled two men to get in here and talk to JB. Kirkland's gonna know about it, and he's gonna know pretty much who did it. I don't see him letting us walk away after that.
And he has Mildred. Kinda makes everything personal. We aren't gonna leave without her.
We're gonna take Kirkland on because we don't have a choice. If we chill him, that's fine. But it's gonna be because it happened, not because we planned on it. You people have been cooped up in this retreat too long. If you want your freedom or this village your own, that's up to you. You're still gonna have to go through Kirkland's sect team to do it.
Man's right. It isn't his fight. Never was, never will be. Now, how do you plan on getting the woman back?
I'm gonna have to take a hand in Kirkland's game, Tinker. If we try to run, I don't see that we're gonna get past his sect team without getting run to ground. Even with horses.
So what do you have in mind?
Make him bring his sect force back into the ville to contain an insurrection. Provided you can persuade a few people to join up.
Don't see how that's possible. There's the plague to consider.
The plague's a damn lie.
I got your word on that, and I'm mostly willing to believe you. But those people out there, they've seen plague victims come in for a few years. They believe. Give me a week or so, maybe I could make believers out of them. But not in one night, and we've only got half of that left.
I don't aim to wait, Tinker. Kirkland's gonna shove it right up to the line in the morning, and I'm not gonna back down from him. You wanna make a difference. you'll be ready to take a stand, too.
Got to think about that.
You do that. I gotta get back to my people. JB?
I'll be along in a bit. Another hour or two, and I'll have enough shotgun loads for the M4000 to last for a while. If you hear anything about Mildred, send
someone. I'll come myself.
You going looking?
If Doc comes up with something we can work on.
You'll let me know?
Any way it goes, you'll be the next man I tell.
Ryan walked toward the front door, feeling the heat of the woman's angered gaze. In a way, she was right. He was thinking only of his own skin, and knowing that didn't feel comfortable. Ryan came to a halt beside the hotel, getting ready to clamber up to his room, then turned and glanced back down the street. Two riders rode hard for the hotel, followed by a handful of others. Moonlight glinted from Doc's silvery mane, and from some of the lighter beads worked into Mildred's hair.
Christy!
I see them, lover!
Ryan pulled the stire to his shoulder, putting himself against the hotel. He centered the sights over the lead rider of the five pursuers, putting the crosshairs on the man's face. He guessed that Duck and Mildred were still 70 yards out, and the men following them were about another 20 after that. Ryan saw Doc's horse stagger slightly before recovering itself. Changing his mind, Ryan put the crosshairs on the lead rider's horse. Its reflexes gone, the horse tumbled in the street, throwing the rider in one direction while it fell in another. The falling horse took out another rider and mount and became a hazard for the rest. Then a barrage of fire chopped into the riders chasing Doc and Mildred. Ryan recognized Christy and Jack's weapons. Even Dean was taking aim. The line of riders wilted under the companion's fire. But more gunmen joined them from the gaudy house down the street, determined to take the fleeing riders down. Suddenly, Doc's horse tumbled. Ryan lifted the stire, aiming for the two men who tried to urge their mounts over the downed riders. Amazingly, Doc scrambled to his feet and ran toward Ryan, looking none the worse for wear.
By the three Kennedys! I thought the next thing these old ears would be hearing was sweet refrains from St. Gabriel's horn!
Get to the hotel, Doc!
Mildred rode her horse onto the wooden boardwalk, then abandoned it in front of the doors. She tried the doorknob, but it didn't open. Before she could move, though, Jack was there. Doc jogged across the boardwalk as well, keeping his head low.
Ryan!
Wheeling, Ryan sprinted to the door. Jack aimed past him at Kirkland's sec team. Inside the foyer, Ryan spotted one of the dead deputies sprawled across a sofa in the waiting room. His throat had been slit from ear to ear, and the blood patterns across the cream-colored antimacassar suggested that he'd been held in place while he died.
Mildred!
Mildred glanced up in time to catch the big gun Dean tossed from the second floor landing. Then she caught the box of shells that followed. With grim efficiency, she broke the pistol open and checked the loads.
Thanks, Dean. Where'd you find it? Your room. Reckon the guys who took you overlooked it.
Ryan reloaded the stire from loose rounds inside his shirt. Aunt Mame rolled into view, propelled by Jocelyn.
What the hell is going on?
Looks like maybe you're gonna get your wish after all.
Ryan fell into line beside the window and peered out. Jocelyn yanked Aunt Mame back, keeping her behind the heavy counter. Then the maid pulled a heavy double-barreled shotgun from behind the desk.
The bastards are shooting up my hotel! That wasn't supposed to happen!
Ryan lifted the stire and put the crosshairs over a man taking cover at the corner of a building. More men rode up on horses, muzzle flashes flaming from their weapons.
Where's John?
Mildred's accuracy with the target pistol was telling, as was the case with all of the companions. The sec force might have gathered dozens out in the street, but none of them appeared anxious to charge toward the hotel.
At the gunsmith's, Mildred. Getting the ammo we need. I figure the noise from this is gonna draw him soon enough.
Ryan sighted on one of the riders. The corpse tumbled free of the saddle, and the horse bolted for cover. Ryan looked frantically, knowing from the sound that a rider had to have come up on the boardwalk from his blind side. A heartbeat later, a riderless horse galloped by his window within reaching distance.
Good shooting, Doc.
Hold up, everybody. Just hold up and wait. Get that building surrounded and let's hold them there until Kirkland gets here.
The newly arrived riders spread out and took control of the sec men's guns. Ryan watched as the men moved with grim efficiency, cutting off their every chance of a bloodless escape.
Fire blast!
I must apologize, my dear Ryan. I appear to have brought the proverbial hornet's nest descending upon us like a judgment from a dark and dire god.
Not your fault, Doc. At least you got Mildred back safe and sound.
Brian watched the street, seeing lanterns being spread among the men. They hustled in twos and threes, running like wolf packs. Ryan sighted on one of the lanterns, leading his target a little. Oil splashed over the man carrying it, then ignited as the flames caught. Mildred aimed at the